Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Rosh Hashanah test. We begin four lines from the top of the Amud. Yesterday, the Gemara alluded to the concept of Hoysafa, Moisifin Min HaChoyl Al HaKodesh. Whether it comes to Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, or Shemitah, we'll take some of the mundane, some of the weekday, and add it, connect it to the Kedusha. So the Choyl will contribute to the Kedusha. How do we know that? From where do we learn this concept? Says the Gemara, four lines from the top, Udu Moisifin Min HaChoyl Al HaKodesh Min Nolan. How do you know that there is a concept of Yimoisif Min HaChoyl Al HaKodesh? The Sanya, the Brisa will focus on the Pasuk, which reads as follows. Sheishes yomim tavoid, work during the week. Ubayom hashvi'i tishbos, come the seventh day Shabbos, refrain from malacha. And the pasuk concludes with the following words: Becharish ubakotza tishbos, refrain from plowing or harvesting. Now on Shabbos, all malachas are asur. Why does the pasuk single out charish and tzir? Apparently, the drush is going to be that the pasuk now switched tracks. Although it began discussing Shabbos, you work 6 days, the seventh day you rest, but the last three words of the pasuk, "Bachar shabakata tishbois," is no longer referring to Shabbos. Rather, it's referring to Shemitah, where you're meant to refrain from working the land. "Bachar shabakata tishbois," says the Brisa of the Sanya, "Bachar shabakata tishbois," which seems to be referring to Shemitah. Well, that's also problematic, because for Shemitah, we already have another pasuk. You might refrain from avodas kayak, arukiva, aimeim et zorach, leimar chorish v'katzah shal shviz. There was no need for this pasuk to instruct us regarding refraining from charish oktira on shviz itself. Sharek kvar neemar. We have another pasuk which says, sad chalei sizra, v'charm chalei sizmar. You meant to refrain from working the land on Shemitah. Ah, the pasuk here evidently is coming to add something. Tosefes Shviz. You may not do malachis even before or after Shemitah, which will benefit the Shemitah produce. Ela charish shel erev Shviz, hanichnas Shviz. You may not do charish even before Shemitah, if it will go into, so to speak, if it will benefit, if it will be l'tayelis of the Shemitah product. So by plowing too close to Shemitah, you're actually enhancing the product, the fruit, or whatever that's going to grow in Shemitah. So you may not do that. And likewise, after Shemitah, the katzer shal shviz, hayotil moitzoi shviz, the harvest of shviz, which extends into moitzoi shviz. So you have Shemitah product, which is still in the ground after Shemitah, that still retains Kedusha Shviz and must be treated accordingly. According to Tosis later on, you may not do Harisha around the stalks if they are Shemitah product, because you are actually helping and assisting in the growth of that product. And that's what the Pasuk means, Harish V'Katzer. You may not do Malachis before or after Shemitah. That's called Tosefes Shemitah. Even though it's not on Shemitah itself, it's before or after, but if it's going to benefit the Shemitah produce, you have to refrain. Oh, so this is the mocker of Tosefes Shemitah. And as Tosefes seems to say, that according to Rekiva, everything will be learned from here. Rekiva, Yol of Kulam Yishviyas, Tosefes says. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, everything will be connected, will be derived from Shemitah. Just like this is Tosefes Shemitah, this is Tosefes Shabbos, which means you have to advance the Shabbos into the weekday. Start a couple of minutes before Shabbos actually comes. Extend it into Matzah Shabbos. So weekdays are meant to contribute to the Kedusha of Shabbos, likewise Yom Kippur or Yom Tov. Rabbi Shmuel Eimer, I have a different approach to this pasuk. I'm not going to learn Tosefes Shemitah from here. Rather, the pasuk is speaking completely about Shabbos. Sheishes yomim tavod, ubem hashvi'i tishbos, becharish ubakatzah tishbos, as well is a reference to Shabbos. And the pasuk is trying to give you an exemption, a kula, to tell you. Rabbi Shmuel Leiman, ma chorish reshus? Just as chorish in this pasuk is non-mitzvah, of katzer reshus. Likewise, katzer, harvesting, which is mentioned right next to chorish, is also referring to a non-mitzvah harvesting. Meaning, chorish evidently is non-mitzvah. There is no mitzvah ever to plow. So the fact that the pasuk mentions b'chorish or b'katzer next to each other, Torah is telling you, what type of activity are we speaking about? Non-mitzvah activities. Because just like chorish is non-mitzvah, there is never a mitzvah to be chorish, likewise katzer, which is included in this pasuk, which is asur on Shabbos, is dafka if it's a non-mitzvah harvesting. Af katzer rishus, as opposed to yotza, ketzir ha'omer, shu mitzvah, as opposed to harvesting for the omer purposes. Harvesting barley for the omer carbon, since that's a mitzvah, and it's meant to be done on Shabbos, you can do so. You can do it on Shabbos. Let's go over to Rashi, off to the right. The pasuk is referring to Shabbos. The pasuk is telling you, it's only usher if it's a non-mitzvah activity. Ma charish ain't a charish mitzvah. You never find plowing for mitzvah. Even if he happens to be plowing to grow the omer or shtei alechem, you also don't consider charisha an absolute mitzvah. You know why? Because it's not a chiyuv to plow for this purpose. Shari yemotza charish ain't a charish. Suppose there is already barley growing. There's already chorish and zeruah. Do you have to do it specially for the omer? No. There's barley available. There's no need to plow and plant again for the omer. And therefore, vani oisu l'cha b'shabbos. That's why it's also to be done on Shabbos. Because chorish inevitably is a non-mitzvah activity. Av kotzer. Shani oisu l'cha. Likewise, when I disallow harvesting, what type? B'shal reshus, ani oisu l'cha. It's only if it's non-mitzvah. Yotza k'tzir o'imah shu mitzvah, as opposed to cutting for the omer purposes, that is a mitzvah. What does that mean? Shafilu matzah katzer mitzvah liktzer. Even if he happens to find harvested barley, he has to go ahead and do the ktziru l'shem mitzvah. So the masa is part of the mitzvah. The ktzira is part of the chiyuv. It's different than charish. V'yesh l'chalul ben mekan shadeiches haShabbos. So we learn from here that which katzer is aser? Only the katzer which is doimet the charisha, which is not a mitzvah, but if it's a katzer shal mitzvah, it's doiches Shabbos. Now, what does Rabbi Kiva hold? The two approaches in the Rishonim, some say, enachnami kod Rabbi Kiva, there is no heter to do ktzira so'emer on Shabbos. You have to do it before Shabbos. According to others, he learns the same halacha, but from halacha l'moshim in Sinai. Okay, so in any case, we have this pasuk, which contains the words b'chorosh b'katzah tishpois, called the Rekiva, tesef es shviis, called the b'shmoel, ketzir mitzvah as mutar even on Shabbos. Let's go back to the Gemara. If so, Rabbi Shmuel meisif in mechal hakodesh minali. Has Rabbi Shmuel know the concept of meisif in mechal hakodesh? He used that pasuk for the ketzir mitzvah. It's unavailable to teach us this concept. Nafkalim in the sun, he learns it from the following price. The pasuk says, you meant to pain yourself to start fasting on the ninth day of Tishrei. On the ninth day you fast. Yochel b'tisha. Do you really mean on the ninth? Tamloim be'erev. Pasuk says b'tishcha l'chodesh be'erev. It starts at nightfall. I be'erev. Okay, if it's nightfall, yochel m'shetechshach. Do you mean literally? You only start fasting when nighttime arrives. Tamloim b'tisha. Pasuk says b'tisha. So you have a conflicting diyukir. Betisha means Erev Yom Kippur. Be'erev means only at night. Okay, it's at, how does this work? Maschil u'mes'anem bo'idyoim. Although the primary fast day is Yom Kippur, which begins at nightfall, but you start a bit earlier. Maschil u'mes'anem bo'idyoim. We learn from here that you start fasting a bit before nighttime arrives. You add a little from weekday to Kedusha. Melamet shemesifin mechol hakodesh. You want to be moisif. the week that is going to contribute a bit to the Kedusha, you'll start your fast a bit early, which is Betisha. From here we learn that you add going into Yom Kippur. What about on the way out? Do you extend Yom Kippur into Matzah Yom Kippur? Yes. We connect the two evenings. Just as you're Moisif when it comes to the first evening, you start a bit early. You do the same when it comes to the next evening. Matzah Yom Kippur, you extend a bit into the next night. Perhaps this only applies to Yom Kippur. Shabbos is Minayin. What about Shabbos? It's Tamalai Matish Pesu. Extra word. This applies to Shabbos as well. You meant to be Moisif on Shabbos, as we do today. You meant to start a bit early to be Mekayin the Mitzvah of the Sefer Shabbos. Yom Tov Minayin. What about Yom Tov? Tamalai Meshabbosram. Another extra word that this concept applies to Yom Tov as well. Okay, Tzad. So we learn from here. Kol Mokam Sheyesh Boi Shavois. Whenever we have the concept of resting, refraining from work, whether it's Shabbos, Yom Tov, or as Tosfos says, this is coming to add Shviis as well. We add from Chol to Kodesh. Oh, so here's the Makar according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva, who already learned this concept from the other Pasuk. What does he do with this Pasuk? He needs it for the following halach. Like the Tani, Chia Barav Midifti. As we find the following price. The Tani, Chia Barav Midifti. Pasuk says, "V'nisem snashesechem betisha." What do you mean, betisha mesanan? Who fasts on the ninth day? The pasuk says you meant to fast on the 10th day of Tishrei, not the ninth day. But like basira mesanan, fasting is on the 10th. Ela loymalach. The pasuk is telling you they meant to eat on that ninth day in preparation for the fasting of Yom Kippur. Kolo ichal v'shoyse b'tshi. Whoever engages in achila v'shtia on the ninth day on Erev Yom Kippur, which will empower him, enable him to fast properly on the next day. Mala olav akosav. The Torah regards it as though, kilu is ane, shi'ivasiri, as though he fasts not only on the 10th day, but also on the 9th. He gets schar, as though he fasted 2 days in a row. A tremendous schar, just for having a little food. So that's the point of the pasuk, that there is a mitzvah to eat and drink on the 9th day. Rashi says, to enable you to fast. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's meant as an expression of simcha, of celebration. Look what's coming. A Yom Kippur, where Hashem will cleanse us of all our avirus. Some say it's like the Suda that we have on Yom Tov, but you can't have it on Yom Tov itself. So you have it Erev Yom Kippur. Either way, several approaches in the Rishonim as to the significance of the Suda's Erev Yom Kippur, which they used to make a big deal of. The famous Medrash with a fellow went to buy a fish and he found a fortune. So Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah. Some say it's actually a literal mitzvah min haTorah, as it sounds from the Pashtus Lashon HaGemara, which actually is one of very few mitzvahs, achila min haTorah, which we have today. Bizman HaZeh, we have very little opportunities to have an achila min haTorah. One is Erev Yom Kippur. The other one, of course, is achilas matzah. That's it. So in any case, that's the makar. This is the Makar Betisha. You meant to do Inoy, which really means your Achila is treated and regarded and valued as though you fasted on that day and the next. So in summary, we have two Psukim and we have two Shitas. The Pasuk B'chorosh B'kotzah Tishbois, according to Rekiva, coming to tell you to Sefer Shvius as Aser, and the way Tosis presents it, from here we learn to the whole concept of Sefer Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur as well. According to Bishma, we learn from there, Katzer mitzvah is mutter. From the Pasuk B'nisim Samshtechem B'tisha, we learn, according to Rekiva Kolechel B'tshi, he gets chayar as though he fasted. According to Bishma, this is the mucker for the Sefes Yom Kippur, the Sefes Yom Tov, the Sefes Shabbos, whether on the way in or on the way out. In fact, it's brought in halacha, that's why we extend the V'huracham, we sing with a little niggin of No, to give us that extra couple of seconds to be Mekayim to Sefer Shabbos on the way out. Continues more ton of Rabban. Let's focus on Yovel, or rather, what activates Yovel. So the way Rashi presents the sugya, we have to begin with the Psukim. The Pasuk speaks about four elements of Yovel. Number one, on Yovel, you refrain from working the land. Okay, that's the essence of Yovel. you show that everything belongs to Hashem, it's like a Shemitah. Now the Pesukim here discuss three things that we're meant to do. Blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of Yevil. Next, the Pasuk speaks about letting the slaves go free, talking about the Eved Ivri, who goes back home. In the midst, we have the word Yevil Hi. Now the word Yevil sounds like it happens regardless. You don't have to activate the Yevil. It's an automatic phenomenon. It's a mitzvah that comes. But then we have the word Hi, which is limiting. It only happens if you do something. So we have conflicting implications. Yevil sounds like you're asur b'avodas kaka regardless. Yevil just shows up. Whether or not you blow the shofar, release the slaves, it just comes. Then we have the word Hi, which sounds like it only happens if you follow this procedure. That activates the Yevil. The Gemara will deal with the conflicting diyukim. So again, we have blowing the shofar, that's said first. That's mentioned first in the pasuk. Then we have letting the avodim go, that's mentioned next. Then we have the words Yevil Hi, followed by letting go of the land, meaning that the purchased fields or properties go back to the original owners. So everything reverts back to the original owner. So again, we have Tkiya Shofar Yom Kippur, releasing Avadim, the words Yevil Hi, followed by a description of the next concept, having the lands go back to their owners. Okay, so it seems like we have three things which are needed, three elements which pretty much trigger and activate Yevil. Are they me'akiv? Tanur Rabbanan, Yevil. The Bach takes out the word Hi. Yevil sounds like, well, Yevil arrives, whether you do it or not. It's there. Afa b'shelo yishamtu. Even though they didn't release the karka and return it to its former owner. Afa b'shelo yitaku. Even though there was no tkiya shofar Yom Kippur, Yevil arrives, and you're asur b'avodas karka. If so, yachal afa b'shelo yishalchu. Perhaps Yevil arrives even though there was no shiluach avodim. Without releasing the avodim, yachal afa b'shelo yishalchu. Tamad lo'imar. That's what the pasuk says. He. There is some limitation. You have to do something to activate Yevil. What is that? Releasing of the slaves. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So quote Rabbi Yehuda, the activation of Yevil depends on shiluach avodim. Rabbi Yosi Yomer, he agrees that one item will be needed to activate Yevil, but instead of releasing slaves, he holds it's blowing the shofar on the 10th day of Tishri, on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yosi Yomer, Yevil hi af b'shelo yishamtu. Even though lands were not returned to their owners. Even though slaves were not sent home. Perhaps Yevil will arrive even without blowing shofar. No, Yevil depends on something. Depends on tkiya shofar. Now the Gemara soon will focus on Rabbi Yehuda's shita, why he picked sending the avodim over blowing shofar, but now we're going to focus on Rabbi Yosi. Look, you have one mashmos, one ribuy in the pasuk. Yevil sounds like it's inclusive; it happens regardless. You have the next word he, which is memayit. You need something to trigger Yevil. So one thing is needed, one thing is not. Why do you pick and choose this over that? So why do we say Yevil he yafav shalei shilchu? Yevil happens even without sending the avodim free. Ve'en Yevil emkein taku. You need tkiya to activate Yevil. Why do you pick tkiya over shiloh avodim? Answers the Gemara two reasons. Number one, levisha efshal oylam b'lo shiloh avodim. It could so happen that Yevil will come and nobody's going to send home their slaves. The Rashi puts it, perhaps there is no avodah to send home. Ve'i efshal oylam b'lo tkiya shofar. It cannot be an oilam without a shofar. Rashi says, "Efshal that there's no shofar in the world." So it's probable that the Torah hinges Yevil on something which is going to happen, rather than shluch avodim, which might not happen. So that's the svar. Davar acha, another reason, zu mesura lebezn. Tkiya shofar is something which is given over to bezn to do. So although we're going to learn later in the Masechta that every yachid would blow the shofar, but at worst case scenario, Bezdin will do it. So somebody's going to do it. As opposed to Shiloh Avadim, Vizu Einu Mesur LeBezdin. It's not in the hands of Bezdin. So what happens if the slave owner decides not to send them home? There goes Yovel. That's it's hard to believe. A Torah would depend, would hinge the Yovel on something which is in the hands of individuals. Okay, so for these two reasons we say, let's pick Tkei HaShofar over Shluach HaVodim. My Devar Acha, why do we need another reason? V'chi Teima, perhaps you'll say, well, Eif Shad Lekech Chad B'Seif HaOlam Dolei Meshaleach. It's hard to believe that there is nobody out there sending away a slave. So why are you so concerned that it's not going to happen? Most probably it's going to happen. So that's why we need another reason. Zu Mesur LeBezdin. Fact is, Tkei HaShofar is given into the hands of Bezdin. And it's more mistara, Teiru's Teila, the Halach of Yovel, in something which Bezdin can't control. Vizu in Mesur LeBezdin. However, sending away Yavodim is not something which is in the hands of Bezdin. And perhaps the owner will decide not to send them out. So the svara was, well, there's certainly going to be Eved out there. The answer is, well, he might not send them away. As opposed to Tkei HaShofar, which Bezdin will look after. And they're reliable. We can depend on them to do it. And therefore, apparently, Yovel depends on that, as opposed to something which is in the hands and dependent on the whim of the individual. Says Rashi around 6-7 lines up. Sending away slaves is something which is unpredictable. She'ef shalo oilam l'shluach avadim. Pamim she'ein eved ivi b'Yisrael. She is in shiluach. Perhaps there is no eved this year, which needs to be sent home. Says Yovel going to be batal? As opposed to Shofar, v'ef she'shalo yei Shofar matzah b'oilam. There's got to be a Shofar somewhere. L'fichach yesh lanu leimar. This leads us to say, when the Torah was toila Yovel on something, which one was a toila in? Like toila l'badavar matzah l'oilam. Apparently, let's assume it's something which is matzah, which is going to happen. The interesting chiddush from the Mitzchas Chinuch, he learns that the Gemara never meant to say that if there is no Eved to be sent home, then Yovel doesn't happen. He says it's not mistaver, you know, let's say when Mashiach comes, there's no Avodim, there's no Yovel. He learns differently. He learns that of course, if there's no Eved, then it's not going to hold up the Yovel. The Gemara means we're concerned that there is an Eved, and he's not going to send them home. That's the Chashash. We're concerned perhaps that's not going to happen, and to say Yovel depends on that, it's hard to believe. So rather, it depends on Shofar, which is more easily accessible. Anybody could build a Shofar. It's not totally in that individual, this individual, and therefore, it's Mistaver that's totally in that. Number two, Shofar is something which Bezdin can control. Let's have their shluach do it. So Bezdin is reliable. They'll look after it. It's going to trigger and activate the Yovel. As opposed to shluach avadim, something which totally an individual. If he refuses to send away his Eved, he vatal Yovel. It's hard to believe that Torah was toilet on every individual. Okay. So in any case, that's Rabbi Yossi's svara. That Yovel is totally on Tkei HaShofar. Says the Gemara, Bishleim Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we understand Rabbi Yossi. Could the Gemara time, like you just explained? Right? Could the Gemara time it that the Yovel is totally on something which is accessible, something which is more mistaver, more now control? Elo Rabbi Yehuda my time. But how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda? He says Yovel is totally on what? It's Shiluach HaVadim. Why? Amakra, look at the pasuk. Pasuk says like this: blow shofar. That's the first item mentioned in the pasuk. Then the pasuk says, "Ukras amdur ba'aretz." Declare freedom. Send away the avodim. Then we have the words yovel hi. Then we have return the lands to its former owner. The fact that it says yovel hi right here says Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, it's going to be applied to the item mentioned right before. Across Amakra, across him Dura Baretz. Then it says Yevilhi, because Savar, we hold Mikra, the Pasak of Yevilhi, is applied to what? Nidrash Lefanov, is applied to the item mentioned immediately preceding those words, which is Shiloh HaVadim. So Yovel he depends on that. That makes Yovel. V'loy lufnei funav, as opposed to the item mentioned before, the item which precedes Yovel he, two items ago, meaning blowing the shofar. There's a gesa which adds v'loy la'achrav, nor is it going to apply to the item mentioned after the words Yovel he, which is returning lands to their owners. So that's why Yovel he applies only to sending away the avodim. That's what triggers and activates Yovel. In any case, the words "ukros and dura ba'aretz" seems to be referring to releasing the avodim. How do we know? The kuli alma. It seems that all agree. Duroyer, the word "duroyer" is lashon cheres, freedom. I'm ashma. How do you see in the word "duroyer"? The sani we learned in the brayse and duroyer el lashon cheres. The word "duroyer" means freedom. Om Rabbi Huda, ma lashon duroyer. How do we see in the word "duroyer"? Like a person just dwells wherever he wants. He's free to live wherever he chooses. And he transfers his merchandise, all over the land, to any land, meaning he's free to go, to travel, to live, to do business, wherever he wants. We have two shittas so far as to what activates Yovel. We have Rabbi Yehuda, Shiluach Avadim, Rabbi Yosi, Tkia Hashem. Zu Divrei, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. Now comes the third sheet. Aval Chacham Noimnim, Shloshtan, Ma'ak Vespoi. All three things hold back Yovel. You need to blow Shofar, send away the Avadim, release lands. Why? Because Sarim, because they hold Mikra. This Pasuk, these words, Yovel He, is applied to all three things. Nidrash Lefonov gets applied to the item mentioned right before, which is Shiluach Avadim, v'lifnei funav, and the item mentioned before that, which is blowing shofar, ula achrav, and to the item following these words as well, which is having the sodeis, the lands, revert to the former owners. V'ksiv yovel, what do you mean? What happened to the ribui? Yovel, which sounds like it happens regardless of fulfilling and observing these things. Ahu, that pasuk is coming to include afilu b'chutz laretz, that at least one concept of Yovel, releasing Avodim, applies even outside Eretz Yisrael. V'ksiv Ba'aretz. What does the Pasuk say? Across them, Dura Ba'aretz. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Hahu, that's coming to tell you that although Shiluach Avodim does take place in Chutz La'aretz, it's only going to happen when Yovel is observed in Eretz Yisrael, when most of Yisrael is sitting on their land, etc. Bizman Shinoig Dura Ba'aretz. When this halacha of releasing avodah, meaning Yovel, is observed in Eretz Yisrael, then noyig b'chutz laretz applies to chutz laretz as well. However, b'zman she'ein noyig b'aretz, when there's no Yovel being observed in Eretz Yisrael, such as nowadays, ein noyig b'chutz laretz, nor would it apply in chutz laretz. Some conclusion: we have the words Yovel hi. Yovel is a ribui. Yovel comes about regardless of this or that activity. The word he sounds like it's a miyut. Yovel only comes when you do something. Now, when we say Yovel, we mean the Isser of Leisizru, Leisikzru, all the Avodas HaKarka. How does it get activated? Three Shittas. Koyta Bihuda, Shiluach Avodim is Ma'akev, because that's the item mentioned, the fun of right before the words Yovel He. Koyta Biyasi, Tkia Shefer is Ma'akev. The Gemara gave two reasons for that. Koyta Chacham, Tkia Shefer, Shiluach Avodim, and returning the kakuris, Amaakev, and only then does the Yovel get activated. Interesting to note that even if you don't activate the Yovel, whichever shita you follow, you don't do that, and the Yovel is not activated, that only pertains to these halachas, for instance, the Isser of Avodas Karka. But of course, when it comes to the Seder Hashanim, as we learned yesterday, according to Chachamim, Yovel is a separate, independent count. 49 years, then comes Yovel, followed by year number one. That happens regardless. So for instance, nowadays, even if Yovel is bottled, but the Yovel year is still part of the calculation. So basically, every Yovel has 50 years, and not just 49. Continues the Gemara of Netiyah. We spoke about Echad B'Tishrei being Rosh Hashanah for Netiyah, which really means that when it comes to counting the 3 days, the 3 years of Arla, if you plant before Rosh Hashanah, come Rosh Hashanah, meaning Echad B'Tishrei, the first year is up, you start counting year two, regarding the 3 years of Orla. Minola, how do we know this? The Chsiv Shalish Shana Marelim. First 3 years of the fruit tree are considered Orla. But how do we know when the year begins? Uksiv Bashana Ravis, right? So the fourth year is actually Netar Ravai. That's a lower level. It's not Asa, but it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim or redeemed. In any case, how do we know when the Shana begins? V'yolav Shana Shana Mitishrei. We connect through Egzera Shava. And we learn that Shana means Tishrei. Dechsiv Mirsa Shana. We had this the other day, referring to the Zman of Mishpat, which is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So just as the word Shana there refers to Tishrei, here as well, Shana is referring to Echad B'Tishrei. V'ligma Shana Shana Minisam. Why don't we connect the word Shana to another place? Where the word Shana is mentioned and is referring to Nisan, Echad B'Nisan. Nechsiv Rishon Ulachem L'chatshei Shana. And says the Gemara, we prefer learning from this pasuk, which is more similar in its phraseology. Don in shana she'enim achadashim. We learn the definition of the word shana by us, by Arla, which is just shana without any reference to months. It's an annual event, just a shana event. We learn it from somewhere else, mishana she'enim achadashim, from the word resha shana, which is a reference of shana without any mentioning of months. It's a once a year annual event. And is referring to Echad B'Tishrei, as opposed to the other pasuk, V'ein Don in Shana, She'enim Chadashim, rather than learning the definition of the word Shana by us, which has no Chadashim, from somewhere else, which is a bit dissimilar, Mishana She'eshim Chadashim, from the other pasuk, Rishon Lachem Chachay Shana, which although mentions the word Shana, but it's together with Chachay Shana. It's a different system. It's referring to the system of months, which indeed initiates on Echad B'Nisan. But when it comes to just plain Shana, this annual event, this annual cycle, that relates to Echad B'Tishrei, and we learn from there that Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah from the Tia for Arla, which the Gemara actually is going to elaborate on a bit further, Bez Hashem and tomorrow's daf. Okay, so what did we learn today? We learned about Tosefos, Yemaisit Mechala Kodesh, whether it comes to Yom Kippur, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shviz. Now, how do we learn these halachas? We have two approaches, Rakiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Now, we had a pasuk b'chor shebukata tishbois, which was actually mentioned in the pasuk of Shabbos, sheshi sham tavoid, or b'yema shvi tishbois, b'chor shebukata tishbois. The kasha was, why did Torah single out these two malachas when it comes to Shabbos, which applies to so many other malachas? It says Rakiva, we're speaking about Shemitah. The pasuk is telling you, don't engage in any work which will benefit the Shvi'is produce. We learn from here, Tosefos Shvi'is is Asur. According to Rishmoel, that's not learned from this pasuk. Rather, we learn that just as Chorosh is a non-mitzvah activity, the Katzer, which is Asur on Shabbos, is also a non-mitzvah activity, as opposed to Katzer mitzvah of the Omer, which is mutter even on Shabbos. From the pasuk, Minisim Nafshech and Matisha, we learn, according to Rishmoel, Tosefos Yom Kippurim, Shabbos and Yom Tov, as well as Shvi'is. According to Rekiva, we learn the mitzvah Akalaichel, but she is regarded as though he fasted 9th and 10th. We have the pasuk Yovel Hi, which is coming to be Marva, that Yovel happens regardless of observing these specific mitzvahs, as opposed to the word He, which is limiting. It only happens if something is done. We have three shittos according to Yehuda, Tkei Shefer. Sorry, Shluch Avadim is what triggers the Yovel, according to Yehuda, Tkei Shefer. According to all three things. And Chazorah's Karka Lebolov is needed to activate the Yovel. We learned that Rosh Hashanah pertaining to fruit trees is Echad B'Tishrei, and this is specifically relating to the Halach of Erla. So as soon as Echad B'Tishrei arrives, year is up and year two begins in the 3 year Erla count. We learn it from Shana Shana, Merish Hashana, which is referring to the Yom Hadin, Echad B'Tishrei. All the best to you and much, much hatzlacha.